News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I got to tell you a few things about the show, just so you know. RightsideRadio.org has got all of our stuff on it. If you have not seen the website, I encourage you to check it out, RightsideRadio.org. Well, one of the things you're going to notice right there at the top is that Right Side is hiring. So, yes, Right Side Radio is not just a show on this channel. Right Side Radio is an entity unto itself. And we are actually hiring right now. We're looking for sales staff. So if you want to be able to set your own hours, work off of a pretty solid commission base, and be able to move about, see people, you've got that kind of look them in the eye, handshake mentality, then we'd love to talk to you about making you a part of the Right Side team. All that information is right now posted at the top of our website, rightsideradio.org, and you can find out all about it. We would love to talk to you and maybe put you right to work. So yeah, Right Side's hiring. Other things that are on there, though, I mean, you hear me say all the time that we got people that call in from out of state. We got people that call in from, you know, down in South Alabama. We got all kinds of folks that listen to the show that are way outside of the, I like to say, the overly broad range of our AM/FM capability here at WVNN, which I looked at a map earlier. That broadcast radius is pretty expansive. So the end result is you have to be out of North Alabama for the most part. But nonetheless, if you want to hear the show on vacation or you want to refer it to a friend or somebody who's outside the range of the radio, then just know this. Anywhere in the whole wide world, just go to the World Wide Web and click on rightsideradio.org, and you can go to our website and click the Listen Live tab. And yeah, no matter where you are in the whole wide world, no matter where you is, there we is. Right Side Radio streams online every single day. Coming up pretty soon, we're going to actually do some video streaming on the show. That'll be fun. I guess I'll have to mind my manners and, you know, wear a nice shirt. But nonetheless, we're going to add that to the website for too long. Other things you can find on there, kind of cool. We got the Right Side store. You can buy coffee mugs, T-shirts, Right Side socks, because everybody needs Right Side socks. I'm just saying. They're cool, Right Side socks. Photo galleries on there. We've got, you know, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, check it out, rightsideradio.org. All right, I am going to be going into the first part of my triple dipper, which is off the topic we just had. But I got to tell you, too, there's all kinds of breaking news that I've not really had a chance to really work through yet. Apparently, the January 6th Commission had what they call a surprise hearing today. They had a former aide to Chief of Staff for Trump, Mark Meadows, who testified, and they didn't want the world to know she was testifying until the last minute. So they just popped that hearing out, ba-boom. They say they did it out of fear for her personal safety. Well, that's crap. Once again, by the way, this is living proof that we are not looking at a serious judicial type, hearing. This is not something that has the presence of court. They're trying to treat it like it does. But really what it is it's, if anything, it's a kangaroo court. I mean, nobody is... Nobody in the courtroom is ever going to be allowed to have a snap hearing like that without notice and service of process. You just not. You're not going to have constant testimony without true cross-examination. You're not going to have anything that's, you know, going to wind up being considered outside the rules of evidence. This entire testimony today was filled with hearsay. Now, were there probably some things that were interesting and that may have bearing on the outcomes? I don't know. Maybe. We're going to find out. Headline right now on Fox News, testimony at the Capitol hearing today says Trump lunged at a Secret Service agent after being told he couldn't go to Capitol on January 6th. What does that even mean? Why is that bad? Maybe he was like saying, I'm the president and I'm going down there where it's bad right now because that's where the problems are. Guess what? If Trump had walked in the room, he might have been able to stop things. Who knows? Then again, maybe they're saying that he lunged at him because he wanted to go down there and demand that they invalidate the election. I don't know what they're trying to perpetrate right now. But what I do know is this. Hearsay evidence is not allowed in a court of law with certain exceptions. And we're seeing testimony of, well, I heard him say this. And I heard him say, oh, is he here right now? He's not. And who are you pointing to? Oh, nobody? Okay. Anyway, that's where we are right now in the January 6th hearings. There's that. Other breaking news, you know, just looking at it right now, Ghislaine Maxwell got 20 years for helping Jeffrey Epstein sex traffic young women to, you know, dignitaries and heads of state. And that's kind of gross. 20 years is not near enough. How'd she get off of 20 years? I look at that and think, you know what? There should be more time on her ticket than that, 20 years. The other story that I told you about just a moment ago during my monologue is the tragedy of what happened down on our southern border. Human traffickers are running rampant right now. Coyotes are literally charging people thousands of hard-earned dollars on the Mexican side of our border and then bum-rushing them across the border, often abandoning them, sometimes abandoning children, and basically you're on your own. Well, when they abandon them and they're locked in the back of a tractor trailer, what can they do? And literally half of that crowd in that trailer died. And that's just, to me, is just is unconscionable. But it all stems from the Biden administration's inability to see that what they're doing is crushing our southern border. Or then again, and here's the thing. Charlene and I have talked about this. I look at it as being indecision. I don't know what to do, but I can't do what Trump did because then I'm admitting Trump's right. I don't know what to do. I mean, I think we're seeing living proof that Biden has never led anything in his entire life. How many times have I said on this show, the current president has never led anything. He had 40 years in D.C. enjoying the blessings of rhetoric without responsibility. He could literally go to the microphone, yell and rant, say what he wanted to, and walk away and own none of it. Well, now he owns it. Well, that being said, the other side of this coin, though, may be that this is just fully intentional. Let them all come. We don't care. Get as many in as you can. Try to influence things. Shift populations. Spread them out around the nation. We don't care. We're gonna. And I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. But then again, who knows? Well, we got a break coming up right now. But I'll tell you this: top of the hour, stand by because my friend Ray Melick from the 1819 News will be calling in to talk about some things that I'm about to cover with you here in a few minutes. Craziness in elections, not just in Alabama. Like, how many times have been in elections won by a toss of a coin or high card or drawing a name from a hat? You would be shocked. I'll cover some of that with you in a few minutes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, all right, number one of the triple dipper, I called it the flip of a coin. Well, it's amazing what can be done with the flip of a coin. Apparently, you can even take office with the flip of a coin. Now, I know this sounds crazy, but that's where we are right now with one of our state Senate races here in Alabama. So if you haven't been tracking, let me just go ahead and refresh your memory on this one, first of all. As we say in the legal parlance, we shall refresh your recollection. 1819news.com, Brandon Mosley wrote a story that came out actually yesterday. State Senate seat likely to be decided by a toying cost. All right, so this past Saturday, the Alabama Republican Party made its decision on a challenged state Senate race. We had Tom Whatley, who was the incumbent, Senator Tom Whatley, and Auburn City Council member who ran against him, a guy named Jay Hovey. Jay Hovey won by one vote, literally one vote, 8,373 to 8,372. I mean, what are the odds? All right. So anyway, the bottom line is this: the committee, the elections committee of the Alabama Republican Party met on Saturday to consider the fact that one lady who we've talked about on the show before had attempted to register to vote, had done everything she was supposed to do, it appeared. And according to Alabama law, You cannot be disenfranchised from your vote, especially if you've made a good faith effort in every capacity to abide by whatever laws there are for registration. So the bottom line is this. She and her husband went down to get their ballot, to get their driver's license. And while they were there at the DMV, they registered to vote. Her husband was entered into the system, and he went in to vote that day, no problem. She, on the other hand, did not get her registration. When she went to vote, they said, we don't show your name on the list. They gave her a provisional ballot. Later on, though, they discounted that provisional. Her vote didn't count. She voted for Tom Whatley. One vote difference, it would have been tied. Wow. Okay, so Republican Party found that compelling, and they agreed. We're going to go ahead and call it tied. They opened her ballot, and there it was, tied. However, it gets a little thicker. Because when the election is tied in a primary, state law says that it devolves to the party to make the decision. It's a party issue. It's their candidate. It's the party's candidate. The party's nominee, if you will. So the bottom line is the steering committee voted to say that the state party chairman could use what would normally be done in a general election and just draw lots or flip a coin or something like that. And that's where we are. Well, it actually says the state party in the statute, the state party would make the decision. The state party chose to make it by the toss of a coin. I'll be honest with you. I don't blame them. I mean, I've already seen where one fan of Tom Whatley says, this is crap. They need to make a decision. It's a little different here. There's no way to win that. There's no way to come out looking good. Somebody would have claimed, you know, it was a fix. He was in the bag for Whatley, or he was in the bag for Hovey. Anyway. All right. The plot thickens, though. The plot thickens because yesterday afternoon, the Montgomery Advertiser reports that ALEA, the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, the ones in charge of those driver's licenses, the DMV office where the lady went down to get her registration done for voting, they dispute her story. Well, why did they dispute it after the fact? Why didn't they dispute it before they went to the Saturday morning hearing, for God's sake? Well, who knows? Probably because it's government efficiency at work here. But Alabama Law Enforcement Agency on Sunday afternoon, the day after the hearing, by the way, disputed an account by a voter who may have tipped an Auburn area GOP Senate primary. So, yes, they are saying, ALEA says in their statement on Sunday night, it investigated the allegation that the individual did not complete an issuance transaction and was never issued an Alabama driver's license. Huh. They say, here's their statement. Voter registration information from ALEA's driver's license division is only sent after the credential is issued and the customer signs the voter declaration, which did not occur in this specific incident. What they're saying is she didn't finish filling out the paperwork, so how can we get her registered? Okay. Dang. So, you know, there's been debate, even on this show, as to whether or not any of this would ever wind up in a court of law. I've got to go back and look, but my recollection is the appeal of this issue would be to a court of law. We're going to find out now whether or not Hovey's people want to do that. I don't know. But here's the bottom line. This ain't new. I got a story right here from WTVY, November 14th, 2018. Alabama sheriff's race decided by a coin toss. You heard me. Clay County, Democrat Henry Lambert and Republican James Studdard. They were tied in a race for sheriff at 2,680 votes each. In accordance with state law, the two men agreed to a means for selecting the winner, a coin toss. Both candidates were present. The race was decided by flipping a coin, and the Republican lost. That was 2018. So I assume that Democrat Henry Lambert is still the sheriff of Clay County, decided by a coin toss. But here's a story from the same year. Off of CNN, coin flips, poker hands, and other crazy ways that America settles its tied elections. I told you, this ain't new. There is nothing new under the sun. You know what I'm saying? Well, okay, so here's the bottom line. In 2018, it says the near future of Virginia politics all came down to random chance. Officials with the Virginia State Board of Elections gathered in Richmond and drew a name out of a ceramic bowl. And the winner, Republican David Yancey, got a seat in the state's House of Delegates. That's their state House of Representatives like we have here. The loser, Democrat Shelley Simons, went home. I mean, they were tied 11,608 to 11,608. And according to their state law, it came down to a random lottery. And so they literally had to put their names in a bowl and somebody drew them out. All right, nothing new though. How about this? Same article tells us in Florida in 2014. The Mount Dora City Council race was decided when the city clerk drew a sealed envelope with one candidate's name out of a felt top hat. Or how about it down in Neptune Beach City Council race in Florida in 2014? One of the two candidates' names was drawn from a hat. The winner of that drawing then got to call heads or tails during for the coin toss, and the winner of that coin toss got to choose whether or not to go first or second in a random drawing of ping pong balls. So, in other words, you had to give a game a chance to win a game a chance to go to a game a chance. Oh, my gosh. It doesn't seem like this would be normal, but what else are you going to do? You don't want to leave it in the hands of a person and say, you pick. Really? Why do I have to pick? I totally agree. I don't think that John Wall, our state party chairman, should be in the position of having to pick, because there's no way in the world that would go well. There's just no way in the world. No way in the world that would go well. Well, okay. Keeping it going, though, listen to this. Alaska, 2006. Democrat primary for a House seat decided by a coin toss. Oh, my gosh. The challenger, Bryce Edgman, was named the winner. But that launched his career. He's now the Democrat Speaker of the House. So the Democrat Speaker of the House in Alaska started his career with a coin toss. 1986, City Council in Williamsburg, Virginia. They drew the names out of a tri-corner hat, just like they did back in the pioneer days. How about this one? Thomas Jefferson. I did not know this. So one of the reasons why we have a 12th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is because Thomas Jefferson, running to be the third president against his running mate, Aaron Burr, well, they tied. They tied in the Electoral College vote. The Constitution didn't distinguish votes between president and vice president. So the vote then went to the House, and the House of Representatives voted 35 times, and they couldn't get past a tie every single time. Finally, on the 36th time, Jefferson won and became the president of the United States, and now he's on Mount Rushmore. Wow. Wow. Anyway, all of this stuff happens. It happens everywhere. It happens around the world. I've got stories right here. The BBC's watching what we do, and they point out that I didn't realize this, or maybe I'd forgotten it. And you know what? I seem to have a vague recollection that when Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders were running in 2016 to be the nominee for president on the Democrat ticket, that in the Democrat caucuses in Iowa, it was too close to call, and that several of the precincts had to go by coin tosses. There were six coin tosses in Iowa in order to decide who got the nomination from that particular state, who got the vote from that particular state. And so folks, this ain't nothing new, and I got more, and we'll cover it in a minute. Let's go ahead and go to a break, Copper. We'll do that right now. And by the way, at the top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned, because my friend Ray Melick, who's been reporting on Alabama politics for a long, long time, is going to be on to give us some of his background commentary on wow. On wow. Have you ever seen a year like this one, Ray? We'll find out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, hey, I got to tell you, I'm going to take a quick aside here from the triple dipper topic that I'm on, the flip of the coin. And I got to tell you, I was reviewing some of the blow-by-blow on this testimony today of the January 6th Commission. Her name is Cassidy Hutchinson, former aide to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. And you know, I haven't gone through it. I didn't watch the whole thing, so I'm giving it to you just, you know, kind of bare bones here, trying to skim the notes. And I'm looking at it and going, what's the big deal? I mean, so here are the things that she testified to today. Trump got mad when AG Barr, Attorney General Barr, had not found widespread fraud, and he threw his lunch against a wall. Okay. So what? Now, I don't agree with that kind of reaction. I mean, we raised our kids not to act that way. I was raised not to act that way. But the reality is, nothing in there deserves congressional hearings. Okay, the next thing we got, there were, you know, apparently the rioters, some of them were yelling, hang Mike Pence. And she says that she was told by someone else that Trump was okay with them saying that. Okay, so you heard someone say that they were okay with something you didn't hear somewhere else. That's called double hearsay, and that's not going to work. How about this one? You've got another one saying that she was told by someone else who was told that Trump was in the presidential limousine, the Beast, and tried to grab the steering wheel to make it steer towards the Capitol because he wanted to go to the Capitol during January 6th. And first of all, he rides in the back. So Trump even issued a statement saying, how could that even happen? But secondly, she is testifying to what she was told by someone else who was told about something that none of them were there to see. This is unbelievable that we are wasting this much political capital on a hearing that is filled with nothing but, you know, double hearsay. And I still haven't seen the smoking gun that Adam Schiff says he's got. If it's out there, just bring it out. Save us all this misery. And oh, by the way, the taxpayer dollars for running this sham of a hearing. Dropping these surprise hearings on where you bring in former congressional, or not congressional, but office aides who say, well, I heard someone told me that they said they heard. And then, I mean, that's high school. And he even threw his Big Mac against the wall. And there was ketchup on the wall. That's what it says. Okay. Quick, have a congressional hearing. I feel an impeachment coming on. Yeah, it's unreal. All right, listen, I'm jumping back in. Let me do this. Before I get going too long on that one, I'm going to start getting text messages from people saying, okay, move on, Phil. Okay, I'm not doing that. All right, so, yeah. I mean, this, by the way, Alabama's coin toss situation with Senate District 27 even garnered national news. Here's one from People Magazine. People Magazine dated yesterday. Tie in the Alabama Senate primary means the winner could be picked by a coin toss or rock, paper, scissors. Now, I'll be honest with you. I would not want everything to ride on. I never win rock, paper, scissors. And I'm always have to stop and think, all right, paper wraps rock, scissors cut paper. So, yeah, I'd go with the coin toss too if I were y'all. But anyway, it's made national news. But the BBC... I mentioned the story right before the break, and I gotta go back and point out something that I saw. Okay, you ready? The BBC had an article in 2016 talking about, and I mentioned it before the break, in Iowa, in the 2016 Iowa Democrat caucuses, in the contest between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, the results in several of the precincts had to be decided by flipping a coin, six of them actually. There were six precincts that could not decide what to do. They were tied. And so in order to help pick the Democrat nominee for the state of Iowa, six of these precincts had to do coin tosses. And the article points out, it says this, unusually, all six coin tosses were won by Clinton. Go figure. It says, according to John Moriarty, a reader in mathematics at Queen Mary University in London, that is a 1 in 64 chance of Clinton winning all six flips. Well, okay, that's classic, sort of like the Clinton mystique there. How'd she do that? I don't know. Witchcraft, I don't know. All right. Couple more, and then we'll wrap it up and then go to the top of the hour. We'll have our news break and come back with Ray Malik from 1819 News. But listen, this KTVB out of Idaho, May 25th, 2022, this very year. The Idaho Elections Office held a coin toss in Canyon County to decide a winner in the tied election for Precinct 26 committeeman. It happens everywhere, y'all. We ain't new. I even saw this morning that one of the, what I would call lesser websites that pretends to report news in the state of Alabama was decrying the situation and claiming that there was some, you know, ridiculousness or foul play involved. No, it's common, and by the way, it fits within state law. It says, the reason in this article right here, the reason we had a coin flip today is based on the statute that was written long before the candidates were born. In 1970, they decided the proper way to settle contests in the event of a tie was a coin toss, and that's how we've done it for 50 years. So there's that. And then in Virginia, USA Today reports in 2017 that despite everything we have in modern technology, that they literally came down to just putting names in hats, flipping coins, and basically working through games of chance in order to pick their candidates when there were ties. It's craziness. The only thing I could see in this situation that could change it besides the coin toss is if there is some legal precedent or some legal standing, if you will, for Hovey to now say that vote should never have been counted. If Aaliyah is saying that she never did the things that were necessary, and she claims that she had, but their records indicate she didn't, and she was given credit for that vote, then I have to wonder, are Hovey's people going to file a legal challenge to this? I think under state law they might be able to. I'll look that up during the break. Coming up next, though, after the news break, we got my friend Ray Mellick, chief editor at 1819 News, going to just kind of talk about, you know, how long he's been reporting on Alabama's politics, and has he ever seen a year like this one? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.